Media corporations are under fire for their coverage of the war in Iraq. Some have even admitted mistakes. For commentator John R. MacArthur, members of the news media should not have put themselves in this position.
Getting the American media to admit a mistake is like trying to turn around a battleship, only slower. Take the New York Times on Iraq. Not until May 26 of this year did the so-called paper of record own up, sort of, to its crucial role in promoting the Bush administration's atomic bomb scare stories during the run-up to the U.S. invasion. Of course, the Times wasn't alone, but so much of the media follows that paper's lead that a climb down on West 43rd Street attracts disproportionate attention. Critics should devote as much energy to examining the Washington Post, which seemed more interested in matching the Times' empty scoops in September and October 2002 than it was in finding out the truth. On September 7th, for example, Tony Blair and George Bush appeared at Camp David to trumpet what they said was a new report from the International Atomic Energy Agency that supposedly said that Saddam was 6 months away from building a nuclear weapon. "I don't know what more evidence we need," declared the president with a certainty shared by the vast majority of American journalists. Buried in the 21st paragraph of its story, the Post managed to muster a quote from an IAEA spokesman saying that no such new report existed. But the paper didn't confront the White House with this very interesting fact. You were better off reading the Sun Myung-moon-owned Washington Times, which 3 weeks later published a thorough story on the non-existence of the IAEA report. Too bad it, too, was buried on page 17. When it comes to the New York Times, its reporting, and its response to the revelations of mistakes, perhaps nothing stands out more than the Judith Miller-Michael Gordon story about Iraq's alleged attempts to buy aluminum tubes for A-bomb purposes. It took the paper 4 months to report there were serious challenges to the accuracy of that information, and another year to admit its reporters were wrong. In their apology, the editors remarked, that challenge was reported on page A10. It might well have belonged on page 1. Well, where do you suppose the Times published its mea culpa? Page A10, that's where. It might well have belonged on page 1. Now that the 9/11 Commission has made it official, I'd also like to see the media recant its reporting on the phony Saddam Al-Qaeda 9/11 link. I'd like to know how the alleged Iraqi attempt to purchase yellowcake uranium from Niger, a story based on forged documents, managed to go as far as it did. Reporters, editors, and publishers need to think differently about how they serve their badly misinformed fellow citizens. The other night on TV, Jane Mayer of The New Yorker unwittingly summed up the problem while discussing her recent article about Ahmed Chalabi. Here's what she said, quote, "It's very hard when you're covering intelligence matters like this to get to the bottom of anything. We as reporters just have to rely on whatever our best sources tell us." Wrong, especially when your best sources are liars. Unless journalists start to think for themselves, we might as well staff the media with professional stenographers.
John R. MacArthur is the publisher of Harper's Magazine and the author of the book Second Front: Censorship and Propaganda in the Gulf War.